Begin the current daf Masechta to cite the daf Yud Ches. We begin 5 lines down from the top of the Yamad, where the Gemara continues the discussion from the previous daf and the previous Mishnah, which described that part of the Saita procedure, which is the writing of the Megillah, of the scroll, and then having those words dissolved in the water. And then she drinks it. So now the Gemara continues regarding the specific halachas of that writing. So Bayi Rava asked the following question. Kasav Beis Megillus L'shtei Saitis. If the Kayin writes 2 different scrolls, for 2 different Saitis, meaning it's written over there, as we had a Machlekes, the curses and whatever needs to be written on those scrolls. So let's say he wrote 2 scrolls for 2 women, suspected adulterous women. But then they dissolved it in 1 cup. Mahu, what would the halacha be in that case? As the Gemara explains the question. Kasiva L'shma B'inan. Is it, as the Pasuk says, va'asallah, that you have to make it for her, which means to say, lishma, for the sake of this woman, that's regarding writing it in the sefer itself, that has to be lishma, and va'ikah, that you have. Each one had a separate scroll written for them. And therefore, it should be valid, even though it's dissolved in 1 cup. Le'dilma b'ina name mechika, or maybe that we even need the erasure, the erasing of it in the cup, to also be lishma, to be for the sake of this woman, that it should be recognizable that this is for her and this is for her. Whereas here, if you're going to do both of them in the same cup, it's not distinctly this erasing in this cup for this woman because you're erasing 2 different megillahs of 2 different women in the same cup. Now that Rava continues, Mi'imtim Tzalem, and if you're going to say that you're right, Bi'ina Namim Chika Lishma, that when you, the Asalah, actually as the Gemara says elsewhere, possibly that's what it means, the doing of the scroll of the megillah of the Saita, which actually means the erasing, if you say that that also has to be for her sake, so therefore you obviously would have to erase it in 2 separate cups. So now the Gemara asks, Machka Mebeis Kaisa. So let's say you do that. You erase each scroll in a different cup. But then, Mechazavit Yirva, and then you go ahead, you mix the 2 cups together. Mahu, what's Allah in such a case? As the Gemara explains. Mechika Lishma Be'inon Bo'ikka. Do you say that, okay, not only do you have to write a Lishma, but you also have to erase a Lishma, which you have? A dilma, or maybe it's not going to be valid. Because halav di do kershasya, but halav di do kershasya for a different reason. Because each woman is not drinking specifically the water that was prepared for her. Because you have her waters mixed with the other woman's waters. Now, v'imtem slim, and if you're going to say that you're right, like the second option, halav di do kershasya, but halav di do kershasya, that each woman's not going to be drinking her own waters and therefore it's going to be invalid. But chazav achalka mahu, what would be the halacha? If after they had been made in separate cups and then mixed together, then they went and split it back up again, pouring that one big cup back into 2 separate cups, as the Gemara explains the question. Do we say yesh breira, that there is retroactive clarification that this cup that is going back into is for this woman and that's for that woman? Oy ein breira, or maybe that we don't say retroactive clarification. Now, Tosafot points out at great length that this is not, as we find in general, the concept of breira throughout Shas, because in general, for example, it would mean that it's not recognizable, it was never known whose part was what, then the halacha concept of breira says that, okay, now we verify retroactively that this was hers and that was hers. But here, that's not what it's told about. Here, we knew each one's scroll, which one it was written for, and which one's water it was then erased in, and then it was mixed together. Rather, the question is based on a different concept, which is basically regarding that, do we say that although each woman needs her own specific cup, she can't be drinking from another woman's cup, which was what we had originally, now although it was mixed together, now if we split up into 2 cups, would that be valid to be considered her half a lug or quarter lug, whichever opinion you hold is necessary for having that cup, or would we say that would not be valid? And I think Mar says, take all these questions, let it stand, it's not clear what the halachic ramifications are regarding the halacha of law, of lishma, that's necessary for the making of the meisaita in regards to the megillah being erased in that cup. Now, related questions, Bayi Ravi says, Hishka besiv, if she drank the water with this palm bass, which is porous, for example, like how children drink, as actually similar to the next question, that is, if she it's porous, so she drinks through the bass, Maha, what's the halacha? Or similarly, b'shveferes maha. If you drink from a straw, what's the halacha? As the Gemara explains, derech shtiyah b'kach, it says the woman has to drink the water. Is that considered normative procedures of drinking? Or yein derech shtiyah b'kach, or is that not considered the normative procedure, and therefore that would not be valid for the woman drinking the meisaita? That the Gemara says, take it, let it stand. Another question, Bar Yavash, he asks, nishpachu mehen v'nishtayr mehen maha. What's the halacha? Some of the water spills out, but some of it remains inside. What's halacha? Because as we learned in the previous Mishnah, there's actually machlekes, how much water you have to have. There are those who say a half a log, those who say a quarter log. There's a certain measurement that's required. So if someone spills out, is that still valid or not? The Gemara says, take it, let it stand. It's not clear what the answer is. Now, the Gemara continues regarding another facet of this, the writings of the Megillah Saita. Amram Zeir Amar Rav. He asks, Beis Shvuos Hamuris B'Saita Lama. There are two times that it says in the parasha of Saita of the Kayin making the woman take an oath. It says in Pasuk Yutes, and it says in Pasuk Chafav. Why does it say two times the woman taking an oath? So on that, Reb Zeir says the name of Rav. Achas Koidim Shenimcha Kamegillah, because one oath is taken before the scroll is erased. And there's another one that's taken after the Megillah is erased. That's why it says two times oath. Now on that, Maskaba Rava asks in that interpretation of Reb Zeir, Tarvayu Koidim Shenimcha Kamegillah Gsivan. However, both of these psukim of Yotes and Chaf Aleph, which say that the Kohen should make the woman take an oath, are written before the erasure of the Megillah, which is only in Pasuk of Gimel. So how can you say that two times it mentioned the taking of the oath, one's before, one's after, when they're both before the Megillah is erased? So Elam HaRav, or rather Rav says, Achas Shvuos Yesh Ima Olah. The one in Pasuk of Aleph is not the same oath as the one in Pasuk Yotes. The one in Pasuk of Aleph is an oath that has a curse with it. And that is where the Pasuk says it's B'Shvuas HaOlah. As the Gemara will shortly explain what is an oath of a curse, but they're different. That's why it says two times. One is an oath with a curse, the achas, and one, which is the one mentioned in Pasuk Yotes, is a shvur she'inim ma'ala, is an oath without a curse, and that's why there's two times, because they're actually different. One is a regular oath, and one's an oath with a curse to it. So the Gemara asks, hechi dami shvur she'inim ma'ala, what does that mean? We know what an oath means, to say you make the woman swear. What does it mean, an oath with a curse? So Amrav Amam Amrav, he says that the Kohen tells the woman, Mashbiyani alayich, that I'm making you swear in Hashem's name, and he mentions Hashem's name, Shloi nitmeis, that this that you're saying is true, that you said that you did not become defiled, you didn't have cohabitation with this other man. Now, that's the shvua component of the shvua that has a curse, meaning that, there again, we have to have a shvua sa'ala, an oath that has a curse. So we have to cover both of those bases. So in this statement that Rav Amram is explaining is, he first covers the oath part, which he says, I make you swear shloi nitmeis, so that's the oath part. And the second half of the sentence is, she'im nitmeis, because if you did become tamei, yivoyebech, so then the water is going to come in you, and it's going to be, as the pasuk says, as the kohen makes her say, latzvas beten, that your stomach's going to bloat, and your thighs are going to collapse. And that's the Allah part, that's the curse part. So that's what Rav Amram explains. What does it mean, a shvua sa Allah, besides a regular shvua? Is that in that statement, besides him making her swear, he also includes the Allah part, making the what's going to happen if you're wrong, the curse. Now that the Gemara asks, Amar Rav, Rav asks, according to your interpretation, Rav Amram, Allah l'chuda kaima, you have the curse as a standalone, and b'shvu l'chuda kaima, you also have the oath as a standalone. In other words, you're right. You're covering both of the bases in the sentence that the Kohen's making her take, which is an oath and a curse, but according to you, they're both in reference to the woman. You're saying to the woman, look, I make you swear. That's the first half of the sentence. And the second half of the sentence is, but if you're wrong, that's the curse. The problem is that the words in the Pasuk are b'shvuas ha'olah, which sound like the oath of the curse, which means to say that not only is that the woman's getting an oath and that she's getting a curse, but that actually the oath, the curse itself is having an oath on it. But the way you described it, the curse is not getting an oath. The oath is only on the woman, and the curse is on the woman. But seemingly that the oath has to be going on the curse too, not just on the woman. So Elam HaRava, rather Rava says, as follows, what the Kohen tells her regarding the Shavua Sheyeshba Allah, that has a curse with it, he tells her, Mashbiyani alayich, I make you swear, She'im nitmeis, that if you became tamei, yuvoyebech, that then the water is going to come in you and do all its damage. Where now you have a shvua on the curse, which is he's swearing that the curse will take effect, that the shvua sheyeshima Allah. In other words, the curse has an oath. Because that's the sentence that he's saying. I swear to you, I mean, I'm making you swear that if you became Tameh, the curse is going to happen to you. So essentially the crux of it is that there's an oath on the curse. He's swearing, which is making her be part of that curse, that don't worry, he's making her swear that the curse is going to take effect. So that's a Shavuos Ha'olah. Now, however, Amar Rav Ashi asks on Rav's interpretation. He says, Ola Ika, you're right. Now, what you did is that you provided that that the curse has an oath. So you have Ola, you have that component taken care of Shavuos Ha'olah. But Shavuos Leka, you don't have the oath on the woman. Problem is, yes, you took care of Shavuos Ha'olah. The curse has an oath on it, where you're invoking a promise that the curse is going to take effect. But the pasuk also says Vishbiya Eseisha. He makes the woman swear regarding this Shavuos Ha'olah. Now the problem is, the way you just said it, Rava, is that the woman wasn't getting the oath, the curse was getting the oath. So Elam Ravashi, rather Ravashi says, almost like what Rav Amram said, but with one slight letter that changes the dynamic, is he tells her, Mashbiyani alayich shlei nitmas, I make you swear that what you said is true, that you told us that you didn't become tummy. Now, there's a vav over here. And v'im nitmas yivoyvech, and if you became tummy, then the water's going to come in and do all the damage that it's supposed to do in you. Where now you have the oath on the woman, where he says, Mashbiyani alayich shalai nitmas, so he made her swear. But the vav changes the dynamics, which was answering the Rav's question on Rav Amram, and it's also going on the Allah, on the curse that it will take effect. So the Meshbi'ani alayich is not just I make you swear that you didn't become Tamei, and that if you became Tamei, this is what's going to happen to you, because then they're going to be two separate standing statements. Rather, the Meshbi'ani is going on A, on the alayich shalai nitmas, and ve'im nitmas is also going on, and also the oath is saying that if you became Tamei, the curse is going to happen. So we fulfill all the components. We have the Shavuos Ha'olah, the oath is going on the curse, and we also have that Vishbiya Se'isha is going on the woman too. That's the interpretation of Rav's explanation of what are these two Shavuos that it says. One is a regular oath, and then there's a Shavuos Ha'olah, which again is as an oath that has both on the woman and on the curse. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah. Again, continuing on this theme about the curses that the Kohen tells the woman and the making of a swearing, and then that whole thing ends off. Amar Isha Amen Amen. She says, yes, I agree to everything that you said. So the Mishnah asks, Amahi Omeres Amen Amen. Regarding what is she saying, yes, in the sense of why is it repetitive? Sounds like it's coming to include other things besides what is mentioned over here. Because if yes, you just say Amen, which is I agree. Why do you say Amen Amen? So that the Mishnah says, because it comes to include other things. First of all, Amen al Ha'olah, where there's these two components that we just finished mentioning, that she says, I agree regarding the curses, I accept, and Amen al Shavuah, and I accept regarding the oath, so that she's swearing what she said is true, and moreover, she's accepting that the curses will happen. So too, Amen Mi'izhah, these are all explaining the parts of the repetition. So to Amen Mi'izhah, that I swear from this man, meaning the suspected man that had cohabitation with me, the Baal, that I swear that I didn't have relations with him, and Amen Me'ish Acher. And again, that's why she had to repeat Amen, Amen, two times to say, besides the obvious that we're pointing out, even other elements, meaning even another man that I wasn't suspected of, I swear that I wasn't unfaithful with any man. So to Amen Shalei Satisi Arusa V'Nesua, that I accept and I'm swearing that I wasn't unfaithful neither when I'm engaged or married, and that's through the halacha concept known as what's called Gilgul Shvuah, which means to say that the oath rolls, and that is, he could then take the oath that he has, the rights of making her swear, and then extend that even to other areas. For example, let's say she was Mezana when she was engaged, even though then he didn't have the kinui, he didn't have the warning on her, the halacha of the oath doesn't apply to that, but here's where the biblical concept of Gilgul Shavuah comes out, which is that once he makes her swear, he can make her swear for other parts of the relationship, even though that wasn't what the kinyan and the steer was on. For example, it was only with this man, he can make her swear for other men. Here it was only when they were married, he can make her swear even when they were engaged. So too, as we continue on Tamid Beis, where if let's say this woman was his Yavama, meaning his brother died without any children, then he went and married her. Now, when they were married, he did kinu, he warned her regarding a certain man, and she did stira, she she was secluded with him. So then when he makes her swear regarding the site of Safik, he could then be megalgal the shvua that she wasn't tummy when she was b'shemeris yavam, when she was a shemeris yavam, which the word shemeris means that when she was anticipating and waiting for the yavam to do yibam with her, like the pasuk says in Bereishis of aviv shamar asadav, the father waited, anticipated Yosef's dreams coming true. So he can then make her swear that she wasn't unfaithful even when she was only waiting for him to do Yibam, and Uknusa, and when he did do Yibam, which is what it's going on, which is the Kinan Stira, when he did Yibam. Also, Amin Shalom Nitzmesi, that she accepts that, yes, that's the acceptance of the oath, that I did not become Tameh. And also, the second Amin is V'im Nitzmesi Yavoybi, that if I was Tameh, then this water should come in and do its harm. That's the acceptance of the curse, which is exactly how the Kohen makes her swear, which, as we explained previously in the Gemara, is first of all, Mashbiyena Alecha Shleinet Meisa. First, I make you swear that you didn't become Tamei, and that's what the first Amen is saying, yes, I did not become Tamei. And moreover, he said, V'imnit M'yivayibeth, that if you became Tamei, then the curse, then the water will come on you. That's the second Amen, which is the accepting of the curses. Now, this is actually just the interpretation of what was said in the Reisha, that there's Amen Ala Shvua and Amen Al Ha'ala. Here, the Mishnah is just explaining how that works. What that really means is Amen Shleinet Meisi, and second Amen is Imnet Meisi Yivol Yibi. Now, Rebbeya Omer, he says, moreover, Amen Shleinet Meisi, the two Amens are that, I accept that I did not become Tameh, and Amen Shleinet Tameh, and also I accept that I will not become Tameh, meaning to say that if I become Tameh at a later point in time, then the water that I'm drinking now will come back after, at that later point in time when I become Tameh, and then it's going to do its harm on me at that later point. As the Gemara explains, that it's not for now, for then, but rather then it'll take effect when she is Mizana at that later point in time. Now, however, the Mishnah does say that HaKol Shaman, everyone agrees, even your mayor, She'ein Masnimo, however, he cannot make conditions with her, Loyal Koidim Shetis Aris, not regarding what was before she was engaged to him, to say, oh, I want you to swear that you were never on, that you never were mezana with a man, even before we were engaged, that he can't do. And beloyal achar shetiskarish, and not for what's going to be after he divorces her. Even according to a mayor that says you can make conditions regarding the future, which is amin shaloi etami. And as the Mishnah explains, for example, if nistura le'echad benitmes, if let's say she secluded with another man, and she became defiled, she had znus with this man, when she was divorced, where by just having znus with another man, she does not become forbidden to her first husband. It's only if she marries another man through kiddushin. Because as when the pasuk says in Devarim Chav Dalad, Le'yuchel Baila Harishna Shashocha Lashal Bekachta, the Isra of Machzik Rishasli, you can't take back a woman that you divorced once she was with another man. That's only after she got engaged and married to that other man. As the pasuk there says, V'hoyselish Acher, if she has Haisa, Havaya, Kiddushin, and he's suing to that other man, and then Vesana Ha'ishach, and the later man hates her, and then the first one wants to take her back, that he can't do. But if she just has Znus with a man, out of wedlock relationship, then she's not forbidden to her husband. So in such a case, if she had Znus with a man after her first husband had divorced her, Va'achkach Zira, and then he takes her back, Lo Hoyamayas Noima. Regarding such a situation, he can't make condition with her for the future to say that I want you to swear now that A, first of all, you were not Tamei up until now with that man that you were secluded with. Moreover, Shalei Tamei, I want you to also swear that you're not going to become Tamei in the future, which meaning when you'll be divorced from me, that is, as the Mishnah is explaining, he can't make her take such a shvua for that future. And as the Mishnah explains why, because Zehaklal, this is the general rule. Kol Shati Boil V'loi Tehe Asrulai, anytime a woman would have cohabitation with another man, and will not make her forbidden to her husband, lo hayamas neima. So regarding such an element, he can't make her take a condition, and that's exactly the case of before she was engaged to him, or after she's divorced from him, where then having this with another man doesn't make her forbidden to him, therefore he can't make her take, even regards to Gilgal Shvua, on those areas of saying that, I will not be mezana. Now, Amar of Abnuna, related to the halach of a Mishnah, Abnuna says, shemeres yavim shezintza, a woman that's anticipating Yibam, meaning her husband died without any children, and her Yavam didn't do Yibam or Chalitz yet, so she's waiting for Yibam. So such a woman that's Mizanu, and she's a Shemeres Yavam, Asru Livama, by doing Znus at that time, she becomes forbidden to her Yavam, just like a woman that's Mizanu, when she's married, becomes forbidden to her husband. Now that the Gemara asks me, "My, where do we know this from?" Midiktani shemeres yavam v'kenusa, from the fact that we learned in our Mishnah that yavam can make his wife, who was his sister-in-law that he married from his dead brother without any children, he makes her swear regarding the possibility that she was mezana when she was a shemeres yavam, and regarding kenusa when he had already done yibum with her. So the proof is as follows: E amit b'shleimah, if you say that this nus that she has as a shemeres yavam makes her asira, makes her forbidden to the yavam, so mishum hachi masna b'hada. So that's why he can make conditions with her through Gilgul Shvuah, even regarding this nus that she had as a shemeres yavam, and that would answer the question. And then that would be like the halacha of Rav Hamnuna that says because a shemeres yavam that's mizana, she becomes forbidden to her yavam. But Eli amrit lo asir. But if you would say not like Rav Hamnuna's halacha, that a woman as a shemeres yavam, if she's mezana, does not become forbidden to her yavam, well then heichem asna ba'ado, then how could he make conditions with her, even when she already did yibum regarding Gilgul Shvuah of what was before when she was a shemeres yavam? But vatanan, we just, as we quoted in our Mishnah, we learned, zahaklal, this is the rule, kol she'ilu tiboil, v'loy te'asturulay, anytime a woman would have beer with another man and would not become forbidden to her husband, lahoya masnima, he can't make a condition for that. So obviously from the fact that he can make her through Gilgul Shvuah swear what was when she was a shemeres yavam is obviously because if she would have his nus at that time, then she would become forbidden to the shemeres, to the yavam. Now however, Ami b'marava, but in spite of this, they said in Eretz Yisrael, less hilchasa k'Rav Hamnuna. The halacha does not follow like Rav Hamnuna, and the shemeres yavam that's mezana is not forbidden to the yavam. Ella, rather, because hadig tani shemeres yavam b'knuza, this that we learned in our Mishnah, that Gilgul Shvuah could work not just for when he ready to deepen with her, but even regarding what was before when she was a Shemeres Yavam, Hamani, who's the Tana of our Mishnah, that's Rabbi Kivahi. The Amma that he says, Ein Kedushin Toivsin. Kedushin does not take hold in a woman that's forbidden on the one that's doing Kedushin with her, if she's Bechiyuv Alavin, if she's someone that's forbidden based on a negative prohibition to have relations with her. And therefore, Rabbi Kiva is a Mashvila, he equates Chiyuv Alavin, negative prohibitions, ki erva, like a woman that's forbidden on the punishment of Karis to have relations with. Now, whereas the Rabbanan who argue on Rabbi Kiva, they say that no, only a woman that's punishable by Karis, such a woman, Kedushin would not be Teifus. But a woman that's only Chiyuv Alavin, only has a negative prohibition, Kedushin would be Teifus. Now, so obviously what we see that according to Rabbi Kiva, he equates the severity of the prohibition of Chiyuv Alavin just like Chiva Krisis, which is that Kedushin is not going to be typhus, and therefore the child is going to be a mamzer, illegitimate child. Now, therefore, the same thing applies to the prohibition on the husband, just like if someone has relations with a married woman, which is the punishment of Karis, she becomes forbidden to her husband, so to someone that has relations with a Shemeres Yavam will also be forbidden to her, quote, husband, meaning the Yavam, because there's a negative prohibition of having relations with a Shemeres Yavam, as the Pasuk says, Loisi Eishes HaMeisa Chutz Lishzar. This woman on the outside, the one that her husband died without any children, is not allowed to have relations with a foreign man. She's waiting, she has to wait for her Yavam. So therefore, that's where Rabbi Kiva would hold, that she's going to be forbidden to her Yavam, and that's why the Mishnah says that Bia would make an Isser for the Yavam. That's why through Gilgul Shvuah, he can make it extend to not only when he did Yibam, but even as a Shemeres Yavam. However, we don't hold like the halacha is like Rabbi Kiva, and therefore in Eretz Yisrael they said the halacha is not like Rav Hamnuna, and that's because it's only like Rabbi Kiva that our Mishnah was going like, who says Chiyuv Alavin is like Chiyuv Krisis. We don't hold Chiyuv Alavin is like Chiyuv Krisis. Kedushin is Typhus, and therefore, actually, Shemeres Yavam that would be Mezana would not be forbidden to her Yavam, and that's why the halacha is not like Rav Hamnuna. Now, Bayi Rabbi Yirmiya says, related to these halachas of our Mishnah, he says, Mahu Shayasna Adam al Nisuin Harishainim. What's the halacha? Can, again, as we're discussing the concept of Gilgul Shvuah regarding extending it, not just generally the Shvuah is, you have to swear that this man that your husband warned you and then you were secluded with him, that you weren't Mizan with him. But again, as we explained in the Mishnah, she says, Amen, Amen, that we extend it to other areas, not directly regarding this incident. So the question is, what's the halacha regarding the first time he was married? In other words, for example, if let's say this man divorced his wife and then remarried her. Then the second time they were married, he did kinui and she was secluded. Could now, through Gilgul Shvuah, can he extend it? I want you to swear that not only were you not mezana now, but even when the first time we were married? So too, al nisu achiv mahu. What's the halacha? Could he make her swear a gilgal shvua through to such a person that was meyabim, his brother's wife? I want you to swear that not only were you not mezana when you were married to me, but I want you to swear that you weren't mezana when you were married to my brother. Now, Rashi points out, although the Mishnah says he can make her swear when she's a narusa, nisua, shemeres yavim, and kenusa, that's not talking about by one woman. In other words, to say that the yavim could make her drink and swear regarding the erusin and the nisuin of his brother, rather those are two different halachas. If the husband is making his wife drink, then he makes a condition on her regarding when they were engaged and married. In the second case is if the yavim is making his yavama, his wife, meaning his sister-in-law, who he's married to now, drink, then he makes a condition on her regarding when she was a shemeres yavim and kenusa. But it doesn't tell us that he can extend it backwards, even as a yavam, to when she had erusin and nisuin to his brother. So therefore, that's the question. Can he extend it to, let's say, his first time he was married to her, or when she was first married to his brother, not even when she was married to him? So the Gemara says, Tashma, we could prove this from our Mishnah. And Mishnah said, Zahaklal, as we just quoted this before, Kol shati bol, v'loite asuroloi, anytime the woman will have bia and not be forbidden to her husband, lohoya masnima, then he can't make that as a condition, meaning as an extension of the oath. Now, obviously, the inference is asira, but if through this nus she would be forbidden to him, hachanami demasna, that obviously that he would be able to make that condition. Now, a woman that was mezana, tachas baila, even during her first marriage, obviously, a nashas ish makes herself forbidden to her husband. So even though it was the first marriage, it would make her forbidden, and therefore he could extend it through the gilgal shvua to the first time they were married. So too, the yavam, if she was mezana when she was married to his brother, who ended up dying without any children, as we said in the beginning of the Masechta of Bezim and Aleph, if it says that if the husband of the Saita dies without any children, it's chayletzes v'la misabemes, he doesn't do yibim. So Shema Mino, that answers the question that obviously they could extend the Gilgal Shvua to either the first time they were married or to his brother's marriage with this woman, because either one of those types of bias would make it forbidden on her current husband. Now the Mishnah said that Remeo, I mean, he extended moreover not only regarding the past, but he said the two amins is amin shalein etmeisi v'chulu. First of all, I accept that I wasn't tamei up until now, and moreover, shaloya tamei, that I will not become tamei. Now the Gemara explained tani lo nabraisa like shamir Remeo amin shaloya tamei. This that Remeo said that the woman accepts that I accept that I'm not going to become tamei. It doesn't mean she'imti tamei that if she's going to become tamei that we're entertaining the idea that mayim boitken oisam achshav, as if the water is going to inspect her and make her bloat now because of what will be in the future. Meaning that it's not going to be, if let's say Hashem knows what's going to be, so when he's making her swear now, I swear to me that you won't become tamei, and if it turns out that in the future she's going to become tamei, so therefore even now it's going to work its magic, that no. That's not what Remeir means. Ella, what it means is likishatitami, that through time, if and when she does become defiled and has relations with another man, then at that point in time, ma'im arin oisa, the water will come back, so to speak, into her throat, like a person that's choking through drink and makes an arar, which is a type of a scream. Uboit can oisa, at that point in time, then it's going to check her again because of the water she's drinking now, and that he's making her take a shvua for the future. Boy Ravashi asked, according to this opinion of Remeir, who says that you can be master, you can make conditions of the Gilgal Shvua for the future, Mahu Shayasna Adam, what's the halacha if a person can make a condition with this Gilgal Shvua al Nisuin Ha'acharoinim, regarding a second time he gets married to her? In other words, that he's making her swear that she's not going to become Tamei if he divorces her and remarries her. As the Gemara explains the question, Hashta mi aloi sirile, do you say that, no, ultimately now she's not forbidden to him because this is something that's going to be when she's divorced, and although he's going to remarry her, but that's not something that he can make a gilgal shvua for. Or maybe you say that, no, zimnin de megarish lo b'hod mahadla, that sometimes he divorces her and he remarries her, and therefore it is legitimate for him to make her take a gilgal shvua for the future, just like it could be for the future time when they're married. Same thing could apply even if he divorces her and remarries her. So the Gemara says, Tashma, being a raya from our Mishnah. Our Mishnah said, HaKol Shav, and everyone agrees, even Remeir, Shlohoya Masnima, that he couldn't make a condition with her, loyal koydim shadisar, it's not what was before they were engaged, and v'loyal achar shadisar, it's not what's going to be after he divorces her. And as the Mishnah explained, if nistra la'echad v'nitmis v'achar kach yachzirena, let's say she's secluded with the man when she's divorced, and she becomes defiled, and then he remarries her. So lo haya masna, regarding such a thing, he cannot make a condition. Now, the understanding, what it sounds like from the Mishnah is because such a future type of a tense is that she's becoming tummy when she's divorced, where such a bia, as the Mishnah said, zahaklal, would not make her forbidden to her husband. Hayachzirena v'titmo, however, but if it's talking about even more into the future, when he remarries her, and at that point in time she would become tamei, so it sounds like that hachinami demasni, that regarding such a thing he could make a condition right now, because such a future bia would make her forbidden if at that point in time when he remarries her and she's mizani with another man, would make her forbidden to her husband. So mashmamino, we could infer from the mission it's only because in the future that she was divorced and at that point in time that bia wouldn't make herself forbidden to him, that's why he can't make a gilgal shavua on that. But regarding when in the future when he would remarry her, regarding such a znus, that would make her forbidden on her husband at that point in time. And therefore, regarding such a shvua, he could make her swear, even for nisu and acharenim. Now, another halacha, the Gemara says, Tara Rabbanu, we learn the Braisa. It says in the Pasuk in Bamidbar, Zois Toiris HaKanois. This is the halacha of the kinui, which sounds like that there's one Tara, it says Tairas in the singular, for kanois is in the plural, for all kanois, all times that a husband is kinoi, he warns his wife, and then the whole procedure of the seita, which sounds like that in all situations, you do like this halacha that's mentioned over here. So says the Tanna Kamma, melamed she'isha she'isa v'chayinu, what that teaches you is that a woman could drink, and then repeat, and then repeat. In other words, that although he did it one time, he said, I'm warning you regarding that man, and she's secluded, he makes her go through the procedure. If this happens again, he can make her do it again. As we see, because Hakanais plural is saying Tyrus, this is the same thing, we do it again and again. Rabbi Hudaimer, he argues, he says, no. It says, Zeis Tyrus Hakanais. This, the word this is an exclusionary term, which says only this and not another, which tells you She'ina Isha She'isa B'Shaina, that a woman does not drink and repeat. You could only do it one time. Zeis, this one, and not again. Now, however, Amr Rabbi Huda, he does qualify this statement, and he says, there was such an incident that Nechunya, the digger of the pits, testified in front of us. Now, the reason why he was a digger of the pits was because so that water could gather there for those who would be oil the regal in their fields and on the road so that they have what to drink. So he testified, Sha'isa Shaysavish, and he said that a woman could drink and then repeat it again. Now, says Rabbi Huda, V'kibalnu edusa b'shnei anoshim, we received his testimony as law only regarding two men, meaning two husbands. If her husband that made her drink one time the meisaita dies and she marries another man and he warns her and she secludes, so regarding such a case, we accepted Nechunya's testimony that the second man could make her now do the saita procedure again. Now, however, but since Rabbi Huda expounds the word zeis, he says, avoloi b'ishachad, however, that does not apply regarding one man, meaning one husband, that he cannot make her drink and repeat itself again if he's one husband, if let's say he goes and he warns her again. And however, but he does expound the word tairas, which is an inclusionary term, to say, but if she drinks a second time by a second husband, that then she would go through the procedure a second time. The Chacham, a third opinion, they say, Ein isha sheisa v'shayna, no, a woman does not drink and repeat, bein be'ish echad, bein be'ez anashim, whether with one husband or two husbands, no, the woman can only go through the certain procedures only one time. Now, the Gemara says, from the fact that Rabbi Yehuda said that through a second husband, she could then go drink and go through the procedure a second time, it sounds like that according to Tanna Kamma, that said that a woman could repeat it two times, was even talking about the same husband could make her drink a second time. So therefore, that's what the Gemara asks. But with Tanna Kamma, nami hoksiv zeis, but what does the Tanna Kamma would do with the term zeis? What, since the term zeis is an exclusionary term, what does he exclude from that term of zeis? Because zeis sounds like what the logical exclusion would be, that it's coming to say that this same husband cannot make her drink a second time. But according to Tanna Kamma, who are obviously saying it's regards to the same husband, because Rabbi Huda, who argues and says that no, zeis is exclusionary, says that two husbands could make her drink. So the Tanakhama, who's saying even more than that, is obviously talking about the same husband. So if the same husband can make her drink two times, then what is Zayis coming to exclude that as if it's only this and not something else? Moreover, for Rabbanan Basroi Nami Hoksiv Tyrus, the Chachamim Ayim that we said, that the last group of the rabbis, if they're excluding everything, they say, no, she can never drink a second time. Then what is Tyrus, which we said is an inclusionary term, coming to say when they hold that there's nothing more than just one time for that husband or for another husband? So Amar Rav Rav explains this three-way machlek is as follows. He says, look, b'ish echad u'bayil echad, regarding the same man and the same suspected adulterer, so the kulam alay pligi de in the isha shayis v'shayna. So everyone agrees that the woman will not drink and then repeat again when it's the same husband with the same suspected man. Dechsev zayis, because everyone agrees to the, as we continue on top of your testament alv, because it says the term zayis, which is exclusionary, saying that no, you don't do this again. Now, moreover, when it's two different husbands and two different suspected men, where after that she drank by this husband, he died and she married another man, and then he warned her from a different bayil, the kuli amalei pligi do isha shayse b'shayna. There, no one disagrees that the woman drinks and she drinks again. She goes through the procedures again. Tachsev tyras, because it says the term tyras, which again, it has to include something, so it's at least including when it's different husbands and different suspected men. Ki pligi, when did they argue? It's b'ish echad b'shnei boilin, either if it's the same husband, but with two different suspected men, or b'shnei anoshim boil echad, or when there's two different husbands, even though it's regarding the same suspected man. As the Gemara explains, Tanakama savar, tarius lirbuya kuli. Tanakama holds that the word tyres, which is the inclusionary term, comes to include all cases. And zayis, that's exclusionary, is only lemu'ute ish echad abayil echad, only comes to exclude the same man with the same suspected man, that's being excluded. But that's what the Tanakhama says when they say that it teaches you that a woman drinks and can repeat itself, is even if it's the same husband or even the same bayil, it just can't be the same husband and the same bayil. If it's the same husband, then it has to be two different bayilin. If it's the same boy, then it has to be two different husbands. For Rabban Basrai Sabri, however, the last group of rabbis, they held that no, Zayis lemu'ute kuli. Zayis, the exclusionary term, is the primary one that excludes everything. You can't make her drink again. And Tyras lirbu yishnei anoshma shnei boylem. And the word Tyras, the only thing that it does come to include when it's two different husbands and two different boylem, then she'll drink again. But that's why the Rabbanans say it in the way of that bein be'ishechet, bein be'ez anoshim, that she doesn't drink. Mean to say that if it's only one or the other, if it's only two bayilim or only two men, but again it has the same one of either one of those variables, then she's not going to drink again. It's only if it's both or different, then the word tyrus will include that. Now Rabbi Huda, according to Rabbi Huda, who he's somewhere in the middle, he says, look, zayis is not excluding everything. It's lemu'ute tarti, it excludes two of the cases. And tyrus doesn't include everything, not like the opinion of the Tanakhama, but l'rabbis tarti, that comes to include two cases, which is zayis lemu'ute tarti, the word this excludes two things. That's the case of which everyone agrees to is ish echad b'shnei echad, when it's the same husband and the same boil. Moreover, it excludes the case of ish echad b'shnei boilin. Even if it's two different men that she's suspected from, but if it's the same husband, that Rabbi Huda holds, that's being excluded. And tairas, the term tairas, is l'riburi tarti, that comes to include two things, which is shnei anoshim b'boil echad, that even though it's the same bayil, but if it's two different men, then she'll drink again. And the other one, which everyone agrees to, is included from Tyras, is shnei anoshim or shnei bayilim. If it's two different men, meaning two different husbands, and two different suspected men, then she'll go ahead and repeat herself again. Now, as Rashi explains, because since there is an inclusionary term, and this is an exclusionary term, but the Torah doesn't tell us what to include or what to exclude, so therefore, obviously, is that the Torah gave over the rights of the interpretation to the sages to tell you, according to their wisdom, what's being included and what's being excluded. So that is what Rashi explains. According to Behuda, it's logical to say that the inclusionary term of saying that she will drink again is when there's two different men, even though it's regarding the same bayil, but not when there's even two bayilim if it's the same man. Now, the reason is because since this husband already made his wife go through the procedure one time, and she was clean, so it seems like if he's doing it again, even though it's regarding a different bayil, that is just what's called an odem kantaren, who is a very contesting type of a husband, and he's just doing it to provoke her, and therefore it doesn't make a difference if it's from this one or from a different one, it doesn't make a difference. Rather, he can't make her repeat the drinking again if it's the same husband, and that's why he splits it up the way that he does. So it depends on how we're learning this Tairas, including and Zayis excluding, if you say that it's including basically everything, or like the Rabbanan Basroi say basically excluding everything, or like Behuda, who he says it's somewhere in the middle where it's not clear, and the sages define it based on character, where we say that, look, this husband is contesting, and therefore, even though it's a different bayil, is what is being excluded, and she can't drink again. But if it's two different men, even the same bayil, then that would be included in the Rebbe of Taurus to make her drink again. Hadnu lo Hayimevi, we shall return to you the second Perek Masechta Saita, Perek Hayimevi.